Okay, so it's Perek Tes, Pasuk Yutes. Now before we begin Pasuk Yutes, I want to just go over a few Midrashim, a few Mamari Chazal, relating to some of the Pesukim that we went through last week. Some interesting things I came across, which I did not speak out. Okay, the first Inyan is, Ha'imer Lachesh, jump back. We quickly jump back to Pasuk Zayin. The first psukim in the beginning of this parak, Eov describes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is HaKol Yochol. There's nothing HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. He created the world, and human being has no place to challenge HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways. And he very eloquently describes creation and describes natural disasters or natural events that a human being has no ability to comprehend. And among those things, he says that for the Shparuch, if he wants, he can uproot mountains, he can create earthquakes, like Pasuk He was Hamatik Harim, Pasuk Vav, Hamargis, Eretz, earthquakes. And then Pasuk Zayin, he mentions that the Shparuch, if he wants, can cause the sun to stop. We learned the Mitzudos, when we learned the Mitzudos, we learned that these things. We'll learn Rashi in the Midrashim that the Pasuk Hey and Vav can refer to stone. When Hashem destroyed stone, it was through uprooting mountains. And the earthquake, we learned, was in reference to what was the earthquake? I don't remember. But different Mamori Chazal referring to different events in history. But when we came to Pasuk Zayin Omer Lacheretz Lo Yizrach, that was a little bit more difficult because we don't have any, we don't have in our lifetime, we don't ever see a natural disaster where HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes the sun to stop shining. Okay, maybe there's an eclipse, a solar eclipse for a few moments, but there's no such thing. When it comes to the earthquakes, when it comes to the mountains collapsing, those are things which unfortunately happen every so often. Look, there was an earthquake, was it yesterday, 2 days ago in Los Angeles? There wasn't such an earthquake, they say, in 30, over 30 years. It's frightening. So these are things which in our own lifetime we can relate to, but the sequence, the next item in the sequence of causing this, the lacheres v'lo yizrach, Hashem says to the sun should no longer shine, v'ad ha-kochavim yachtem, and the stars will no longer radiate light. That is not something which we ever experience. So therefore, in Mitzudos and Rashi, they explain in Chanami, it's referring to to the Mabul. In Chanami, it's referring to a tkufa that we are not familiar with. During the time of the Mabul, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the sun and the stars that they should not be functional. Or if you want to learn Omer Lacheres Lo Yidrach, I think Rashi alludes to it slightly, is the time of Gidoin. Doim, what's the pasuk by Gidoin? Hashem told the sun to Shemesh begivoin doim. Or by Yoshua, by the time of Yoshua, the sun stopped shining. And there is though a medrash, and the medrash says that this refers to Yaakov Avinu. It connects this pasuk to the dream of Yosef. Yosef said that I saw my dream Hashemesh vayarech v'achad asar koychavim. The sun, the moon, and the 11 stars were bowing down to me. And Yaakov said to him, "What are you saying? It's nonsense. You're going to cause your brothers to become jealous." So, but according to that Chazal, the Cheres refers to Yaakov, and the moon refers to his mother Rachel, and the 11 stars refer to the Shvatim. So, based upon that Chazal, Ha'im Lacheres Lo Yizrach, it's telling us that this refers to the Tkufa, the 22 years where prophecy was denied from Yaakov Avinu. Hashem closed off the channels of Nevuah, and he did not have Ruach HaKodesh during that period when Yosef was sold to Mitzrayim, and Yosef, that caused Yaakov Tzar, and Ein Hashchina Shore Elam Mitoch Simcha, it was no longer Simcha. So Ha'eber Lacheres V'lo Yizrach, if Hashem does not want the son, in this instance the Yaakov Avinu, to give forth words of prophecy, V'lo Yizrach, so it will be, there will not be any form of prophecy. Prophecy, the koyach of Nevuah, is also in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just because a person reaches a very high, exalted level of spirituality, it's not a guarantee that, I mean, they're not a guarantee that he will have the koyach to have Ruach HaKodesh. That is also in the control of HaKodesh Baruch Hu. I mean, we this doesn't have any meaning to us, obviously, because we don't know what prophecy is. But there could be such an approach to believe that if a person purifies himself, he becomes holy to the degree where he's roy, that the Shechina should rest upon him, that should automatically give him a pass to see things that the average person does not see. And here's a very important chazal that's telling us, no, prophecy is, it's not dependent upon man. You can have an extremely holy person, but if Hashem does not want there to be a tkuf of nevuah, then the gates are closed, even for the greatest of the great. It all depends on the needs of the generation, and that's where here even Yaakov Avinu, who was the greatest of the great, Ha'imer Lacheres V'lo Yizrach, there will be no prophecy. He mentions here, you don't find this point, that Yosef was relatively nearby. And we think, you know, you learn Chumash, you think that Yosef was sold to Mitzrayim. It's like, in America, he was sent off to Afghanistan. Right? He was sent off who knows where. It's a trip, was sent off to Australia. It takes 24 hours by plane, and then you have to go on who knows, on some dirt roads to find where Yosef. The Medrash says, the Tanchuma, he was nearby. Mitzrayim and Eretz Yisrael, we're not exactly sure what the boundaries. So it wasn't so far. It's a 4 or 5 day trip. That's all it says in the Feresh in the Medrash Tanchuma. Just a 5 day trip. In ancient times, a 5 day trip was nothing. You can do it in 1 week. A big trip was, you have to go to the Mediterranean, you have to go on the ship, you got to go up north, who knows where you got to go. It can take weeks, it can take months to travel somewhere. It was no big deal. He was around the corner. And yet for 22 years, Yaakov Avinu couldn't figure out where Yosef was. Why? Because if Hashem does not want, Ha'omer Lacheres V'lo Yisrach, something can be right, and there's a lot, by mentioning this point 4 or 5 years, the Midrash makes it very, very, very significant. There can be something that's hiding in plain sight. Such an expression, right? It's hiding in plain sight, and yet you have no idea. It's right sitting in front of you. Right, sitting in front of you, but yet v'lo yizrach. They always say this about shidduchim. People, they meet the bashert after who knows how many years, and the bashert was standing right in front of them all the time. It was so obvious this was the bashert. So what took so long? It was hiding in plain sight. Because if Hashem doesn't want, ha'omer lacheres, Hashem says to the sun, v'lo yizrach, it's not going to be. This is, I'm just being mekatze very much, but there's a lot of, this is the main yisrael, this Medrash Tanchuma, and Parshas Miketz, Simin Vav. Okay, the next thing which caught my attention is the Gemara Masechta Nida. The Pasuk Yud says, Oiseh gedolos ad ein cheker, v'niflos ad ein mispar. Hashem does wonders, Eve concludes his observation of Kadosh Baruch Hu's awesome deeds. He does wonders that are beyond investigation, great things beyond investigation, and wonders that cannot be recounted, that are too numerous to be recounted. So if you would want to give an example, take out one of these books that describe the wonders of Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's probably an infinite number of things that you can use as an example to describe things that Kadosh Baruch Hu does that are beyond our comprehension. The Gemara in Masechta Nida Daf Lamed Aleph gives one example. It's interesting why this example really says it all. When a person has a precious object and you want to protect it, you put it in a container. A container in ancient times was a piece of cloth. You take a piece of leather, you put the object in the piece of leather, and you wrap it up and you tie it on top. Where do you tie the container? How do you hold the container? Where do you close it? On top. Because the laws of gravity are that if you turn it upside down, if you put an object in a container and turn it upside down, it would fall out. Even though you would take straps and you would tie the bottom, that would be foolish because very easily your shoelace will open up and the object will come crashing down. So obviously when you have something that is of value and you want to protect it, you put it in a container and you put the container right side up and the seal is applied to the top of the container. Yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's most precious creation? A human being. That is the yitzir, that is the tafkid of the world. Everything in this world was created for man. Man is the last item that Hashem created. And how does Hashem create a human being? In the womb of a woman. And where is the opening? The opening is on the bottom. So from our perspective, it's so easy for a human being, since a human being is in the womb of a woman, and the womb is closed on top, and the opening is on the bottom, from our perspective, from our understanding, it should fall out. It's very dangerous. The human being can just suddenly come out of the opening. The womb is the container, and it's upside down. This is the example the Medrash gives to sum up. It's amazing. It's amazing that from all the different things you can say, this is what the Gemara sums up. A human being is the most precious thing in this world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it, protects it in the womb where it's upside down. Oilam Hafach. Instead of it being right side up, it's upside down, and yet nothing happens. The child does not fall out before its time. The child remains in the womb until the time comes when it should be released. And then the Gemara elaborates furthermore. Normally, so the heavier something is, the force of gravity pushes it down further and further. If you have something very heavy, it weighs more. But yet the nature of a child forming within the mother's womb is that the heavier and the larger the child gets, the further up it goes in the womb. The child starts off in a lower portion of the womb, and as it develops and matures, it goes higher and higher in the womb until it's time for the child to be released. So this defies the laws of nature, defies the way a human being would approach creating, protecting, and creating an object, and it therefore illustrates to us that indeed a Kadosh Baruch Hu is beyond our comprehension. And therefore Eve is saying we shouldn't dare think that we can comprehend a Kadosh Baruch Hu's hanhaga, the way he deals with us in this world when we really are in another world. Okay, now we come to another idea. Now this is really old, the following Chazal, it's a famous Chazal, but I think In this generation, this century is when, previous century, is really when this idea has been appreciated to a much greater degree than ever before. In Pasuk Yud Zayin, we learned, Pasuk Yud Zayin said, Lo Yitneni, not Pasuk, what is it? Pasuk Yud Zayin, Asher Bissa'ara Yishufeni, Vihirba Pitsa'aychinam. You have Yishufeni, means cut me down. You have cut me down in a whirlwind, in a strong storm, and you have increased my wounds. There are many, many midrashim, because the word sa'ara, the famous chazal that we are familiar with, is the chazal that mentions Eve's complaint to Hashem. Perhaps you confused the difference between an ioiv and an oyev. A wind came and moved the letters around. But on that chazal, I'll read you the words. It's a Gemara, Gemara Masechta Bava Basra. It's the famous Gemara that discusses the story of Eve and Bava Basra and Avtez Zayin. I'll read you the words. V'kach Omar Loya Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem responded to Eve when he complained that maybe you confused me and Eoiv and Oy. Let me go back even a little bit further. Okay, let me go back further. Omar Rabba, Eoiv b'Sa'ora Cherif. Eoiv, he cursed with the word Sa'ora, this pasuk. This pasuk, Asher b'sa'ara yishufeni, u'v'sa'ara heshivuhu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will later, at the end of the Sefer, respond to Eve with a wind. Okay. Asher b'sa'ara, the Gemara gives an example, Asher b'sa'ara yishufeni, Omar lufanav, with a wind, did he complain? Omar lufanav, Ribbono shel Olam, Shema ruach sa'ara avro lufanecha, maybe a wind passed before you, v'nitzchalef l'cha ben Eve le'oyev. So Hashem responded, "Besa'ara heshivuhu." This is the end of Sefer Iyov. The Chesiv Shemar, in the end of the Sefer, Vayan Hashem el Iyov min hasa'ara, Vayomer v'gomer. And then he gives the response. V'kach amalai kadosh baruch hu, harbe nimin barasi ba'adam. I have created many hairs. V'chol nima v'nima barasi lo guma b'fnei atzmi. Each hair comes from its own source, its own whole. The whole nima v'nima barasla b'guma. What? pore. Each hole comes from its own pore. What? Okay, guvnatsav shelo yushtaim yonkos miguma achas, so that each here should not derive its nourishment from the same source. Shel mole shtaim yonkos miguma achas hayu machishes mor einav shel adam. A person's eyesight would be dimmed, would be blind. Personally, but I don't think we really know what this means. Person, if he the here is coming out of their own source, their own guma, is a reason why a person does not go blind. All right, whatever that means. Now, v'im bein guma l'guma difrach, Hashem says to Eve, if I am so careful to make sure that the two hairs do not derive its nourishment from the same guma, v'im bein guma l'guma lo nischalifli bein iyev lo iyev nischalifli. Okay, let's go further. Now, v'chein mi pileg lashetef to Allah. That's a pasuk later on. Iyev lamin ches harbe tipin shel geshem barasi be'avim. I created many tipin, many drops of rain in a cloud. A cloud produces multiple raindrops. The whole tipa v'tipa barasi lo defus bifnei atzma. I don't know if science knows what this means exactly. Each
snowflakes are all different.
Each snowflake, what do you mean it's different?
Different
shape?
No two snowflakes are alike?
No, that's true.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's true.
Okay, so each, but here it is a defus. It's not just the actual product, it's the defus. There is some type of mold. Do we know what this means? There's a mold that forms each drop of rain. Okay, millions of drops of rain. Each drop of rain is produced, is manufactured in its own mold. That's what it says. Defus bifneatza. Kidei shelo yu shtei tipin. Yoitzois midefus echa. So that two drops should not come from one mold. Shul mole shtei tipin. Yoitzois midefus echad. Hayu mitashtishos es haaretz. The world will be flooded. It's an amazing concept. Now, let's go. Now here's the part that we really want to really bring out. The Eina Motzia Peros, and it would not produce, the world would not produce Peros. The Im Bein Tibel Tibel Lonis Halafli Bein Evil Oyev Lonis Halafli. The Chein Harbe, then it goes to give one more example, Koyloi sounds. But Harbe Koyloi Sroam Barasi Be'avim V'chol Kol V'chol Barasi Lo Shavil B'fnei Atzma. Each call, each sound has its own path, has its own airwaves. Kadesh shlo yu shtei koilos yoitzas mishvil echad shul mole shtei koilos yoitzas mishvil echad machariven es kol oilam bein kol kol oynes chalafli bein evil oivnes chalafli. So the Gemara here gives three examples where each teeny, the common denominator of each of these examples are each teeny little thing in this world, the smallest thing possible, a hair, a drop of rain, a sound, the smallest sound. Each one of these things has its own unique source, has its own environment, which produces. And if this law would be broken, if you would take an item and two would come together, or somehow it's the smallest thing would not follow its normal pattern, the whole world will be destroyed. In this generation, I once heard this, it's not original, I'm saying, in this generation, we appreciate that. What is the atomic bomb? To take the smallest piece of matter, an atom, and to split the atom. When you take the smallest thing and you break it apart, the amount of energy released is so vast, it can destroy the world. It can literally destroy the world. So in the 20th century, this chazal, it's not an exact comparison, but the concept is so true. There's never been a fuller appreciation of this chazal until the 20th century. I don't think we really know what this chazal means. Maybe they do. Maybe they do understand what this means. That this, every single sound has its own path, a shvil, has its own road when it goes through the soundness. And if one sound would get mixed up with another shvil, machriven es kol ha'olam, the world will be destroyed. What does that mean exactly?
In physics, called harmonics.
Yeah.
When the sound waves converge on
you. Yeah.
So you have this sometimes in a stadium.
Yeah.
Everybody is clapping at
okay.
the same time. It makes the
sound much louder.
No. It yeah. shakes the stadium. The singing, right. the voice.
Yeah.
Is able to those harmonics
when they collide.
They're able to shake the iron, the columns that are holding up the stadium. The whole stadium shakes.
Wow. From just from the sound waves.
From the merging together.
Merging together. So you do see such a concept, at least at a small token level, such an idea. Yeah.
Also, such a thing as a blitz print. I mean, this is
also telling us, you know, that everybody is an individual, and that in various ways, there's the Hashgacha Pratis, which he's arguing.
Right, exactly. But this Chazal, again, I'm asking what is for 2,000 years, what does this mean? What do these concepts mean? That you have a teeny raindrop and has its own defus, and if two raindrops would come together, the world would be destroyed. Would we appreciate it?
If they would collect, they would become big raindrops, and they would all...
Even two little raindrops.
Means in general, if that would be possible,
they all come together, be a flood. But in this generation, we definitely can appreciate such a concept when we see Bepoel, that an atom at a split, the smallest piece of matter that is split, the amount of energy that is released, we know, can destroy the world.
It's even better analogy with hydrogen.
When you fuse two atoms, and that also creates
more energy.
So there you have this generation, this Chazal has really been put on a pedestal. We really can appreciate to a much greater degree what this means relative to previous generations that did not have this scientific knowledge, at least that we know of.
You need heavy water to create a hydrogen.
And you need heavy water. So you're saying that Smashu Chazal say two different drops of rain which are come together, which merge together to create this enormous energy. Okay? In a Hanami. It's very fascinating. Everything that they're doing today, you can see, as alluded to, as hinted to in Mamari Chazal. Okay, now another very nice medrash. This is another very deep concept, just to touch upon the idea. It's in Bereishis. The following comes from a medrash in Bereishis, Rabba Parsha Memtes. In Pasuk Chav Beis, we learned... I'm jumping ahead. So let's go back to Pasuk Yitess. The Pasuk Yitess we did already last week, but we'll just review because it begins a new series. We of Naftali from here at the end of the parak is coming to complain. He's coming to complain that I'm helpless. Pretty much, I suffer. He seems to vacillate back and forth. Maybe there is Hashgacha Pratis. Maybe there's no Hashgacha Pratis. What's the use between a tzaddik and a rasha? Everyone suffers. I have no hope. I'm going to die. He's vacillating between different ideas back and forth. Here in the next series of sukkim, he's coming to express his frustration that he has no opportunity to present his complaint to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite, as he has expressed in the previous sukkim, he doesn't have even an opportunity to complain to Hashem because there is no system of justice. It's pretty scary. It sounds like there's a little bit, borders not because that's what he's saying. Maybe it is. There is no opportunity to go to for him to present his claim against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And here in the beginning he says, "Im lechoyach amitz hinei." If it's a fight between me and Hashem over who is more powerful, then forget it. There's nothing to talk about. If it's a matter of koyach, amitz hinei. Hinei means behold. Behold, Hashem is the most powerful being in the world, and hands down, I will lose. I can't match his might, his physical might. Now, Hashem is not physical, but Hashem is koyach. V'im l'mishpat, if it's a matter of thought, of rational reasoning, and therefore we would go to a judge, a third party, to lay out our claims. Hashem obviously would present his side of the story, his claim why I deserve to suffer, and I would present my side of the story why I deserve not to suffer. V'im l'mishpat, Yo Ideini, who would summons him? There are different translations. Although now, like I think the Malbim says, who would send a hazmana to Hashem? Every person said Din Torah. I hope anyone here was not involved in the Din Torah. I was not yet involved, but it was almost. And I went through the process. I learned the ropes. What exactly you do? My father was a dayan. So my father, when I had this shiloh, it was after my father already was niftus, I wasn't able to ask him for advice. But part of the process to go to Din Torah is you go to a Beis Din and they send and they listen. They listen to your complaint, and if they feel that there might be some legitimacy in your complaint, maybe at least what you say, there are two sides to the story, but you do present evidence that there is something to deal with, then they will send a hazmana. they send a letter to the other party telling them to show up at the court. And if the other party does not, they give him like, I don't think, maybe 30 days? They give him time to appear? Yeah, 30 days?
I've been twice.
And if they don't show up...
No, nobody's suing me.
Yeah.
And if they don't show up after 30 days, they send another one. And then if they don't show up, they send a third. They send a letter three times. And if the person does not show up after three times, they write what's called a seruf. They write the person who approached the Beis Din, you have refused that this person has been summoned to come to the court three times. He refused to show up, and therefore they write against him what's called he has refuse, and that allows what?
Like a contempt of court.
Contempt of court. And that, at least in New York State, I don't know, all the rules and regulations will go on outside New York State, outside of the world, is that you now have a right to go to court. If you have a claim in court. Now, what's very interesting is that sometimes there are many, they're not many, but there are a significant number of issues which in secular law there's no claim. It's only a Jewish thing. There's certain halachas that are only... Halacha recognizes that an avla, if something wrong has been done, and in secular law, they'll left you.
Well, the judge, like say, on these situations, they just said we're not going to entertain the case because we want to stay out of it.
Right, or they can do that also, but they can't do that. It all depends also on every case is different. But many times when you're dealing with Jewish law, the way the other party wins is just by refusing. He just doesn't show up three times. He ignores the letter three times, and by default, he'll win, because what could you possibly do? To go to secular court, will say, like you said, either we don't want to get involved, or...
You learn from Korach. That's where they take the halacha.
Now, it's not a nice thing, because you don't want to have on your Jewish record, on your record, that you, on your public record, in the Jewish community, secular community means nothing, but in the religious community, you don't want to have on record that you have refused to come to court. It's not good for Shaduchim. It's not good for Shaduchim that on record he was a Lotsoyes Dina, that this individual did not listen to the, did not show up in court. It's not fun. But it's part of this process. So here, basically, what the Malbim says is, if I want to present my complaint, what happens when you present 99% of the time? This is what they told me: is the court that sends the hazmana is not the court that will be judging the case, because there's hazmana, and then you have the parties. I don't want to go to this court.
Oh, they're gonna use Zablon now, so yeah.
We're going to decide. We're going to go to a different court. Or you're going to go to different. Everyone will choose a dayon, and all right. But it opens up the process. But so here, according to the Malam, what he's saying is, if I have a complaint against HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kavi Yachal, I'm suffering for no good reason. I didn't do anything wrong. So what am I going to do? I want to take Hashem to a din Torah. So what court? What's the process of a din Torah? The first thing is the hazman of the din Torah. Try to find me a court in the whole world that will send Hashem a letter. Hashem, you have been called. We're calling you. You've been summoned to come to a din Torah. Oh, we're not going to mess around. We're not going to mess this. That's pretty much the way the Malbim interprets the pasuk. Me, who will be the person that will be willing to summon HaKadosh Baruch Hu to a din Torah? Okay, let's see the mitzudos again, even though we did this last week, but I just want to review this. I am suffering. I am in a very bad state. A lot of evil has come upon me. If it comes because Hashem, it's nothing to do with Mishpat. This has nothing to do, this world is not ruled with justice. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world called the Olam Gvar. Right, there's such a concept in halacha as well. There are certain times in halacha when there is no halacha, and the rule is whoever is more powerful. It's a scary concept. What that means is also whoever has more power, whoever is more power, the bigger bully you are, that's the one who wins. So basically, if this world operates without justice, and operates with probably in Afghanistan, right? The Taliban, whoever has more power, who has more guns, wins, then forget it. I give up. I raise the white flag because I recognize the Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's no hope. One more time. It's due to power and might that Hashem has bezulas shmiras hamishpat, that has nothing to do with justice. It's a world of power. Whoever has more power, more nuclear bombs, wins. Hein yadati, I know ki amitz hu v'chol yachol. Hashem is the most powerful, and He is almighty. V'lo yibatzer mimenu, and there's nothing that can be withheld from Hashem. Hashem will win. Hashem will do whatever He wants. So therefore, I'm not going to take that approach. Aval im hine mitzad hamishpat. Let's say you will tell me that Hashem created a world, and He does not conduct the affairs of this world with power, but it does with reasoning and justice and fairness and mishpat. Okay, then I got a chance. I have to take HaKadosh Baruch Hu to court. So let's go to court. What's the process? The first process in Jewish law is Hazmana Ledin Torah. Like my friends tell me that Hashem judges this world, conducts this world with mishpat. It's not a free for all in this world. Mihu, go try to find me a court of law in this world. Asher yikval li yom miyud, that will designate for me a designated day, jury duty, right? V'nikrava yachad, will come together la mishpat levarer hadin imi, to clarify who is correct. Miyo the any, who will make no, similarly the mitzvah stones, who will make look at the mitzvah tzion. Yo the any in yonoi eis kavua, who will set a time for me and my baldin to appear for mishpat. What?
Put you on the calendar.
Who's going to put us on the calendar for law? Pasuk Chaf. Now he continues. Imet stak. Now this is a very hard pasuk. Imet stak. Piyar she'eni. Tom oni vayak shen. We'll first do it to the mitzudos, and then I'll tell you. I think I'm getting confused. It's either Rav Schwab or the Malam. I'll tell you another interesting pshat. But let's see the mitzudos. So the mitzudos adds a lot of words into this pasuk. He adds a lot of bayer. You have to read the pasuk with a lot of liberal license to explain what this pasuk means. Pasuk chaf in the mitzvah. This image, like hayitochein, it's possible. Is hayitochein? Is it possible? Im omnam ani tzadik b'maasai. If it's really true that I'm a tzadik, I'm a righteous person. Piyar she'eni, upi yase osi l'rosha bitmiya. It's not fair that my words of apikursis and my words of complaint should make me into a rasha. Meaning, ein adam nitvas b'shas tzara. A person, as we mentioned many times, a person is not held responsible for things that he says at the time of his tzar. So, if really I'm a tzaddik, I have done nothing wrong in my life, just because now I'm complaining, I'm saying things which are not proper, that's not enough to make me into a rasha that I deserve to suffer the way I do. It's natural for a human being, when he's tortured, to complain. The chibavur imre, if he then the pasuk repeats itself, Tom oni vayak sheni. Now, according to the mitzvahs, you have to take the word pi. It's as if you have to take the word pi and repeat it twice in the pasuk. Tom oni, I am a tzaddik, a pure innocent person, and because my pi, my mouth, has expressed complaint, is it fair? Vayak sheni, it should make me into a stubborn person. I should be viewed in court as being a stubborn, wicked person. That's not fair. The only reason why I'm stubborn, I'm wicked, I'm complaining, is because of the torture that I'm undergoing. I should be considered an evil person. In the essence of my personality, I need Tom the Yosha. I'm a tzaddik. I'm a Tom the Yosha. And the only reason why I become stubborn, here he's using stubborn as a person who complains, is because it's because he's torturing me for no reason. And it's through the torture he nay na seisi ikesh, I become stubborn laharer, to think improper thoughts ule hisroim, and to complain. So according to this interpretation, it's not a full continuation of pasuk yutes. According to the mitzudos, he's pretty much saying a new theme. He's saying it's not fair. It's not fair that you, my friends, should view me as an evil person. The proof that you do view me as an evil person comes from your response, from your criticism of me. You have to realize the only reason why I'm saying these things is because I am a tortured soul. I'm really a tzaddik. I'm really a tom. So we have to im et stuck. If I'm really a tzaddik, don't now go and complain to me that I'm a wicked person because of my pi yarshieni. Should it be now the words of my mouth make me into a wicked person? Tomani, I'm really a tzaddik. Is it really fear now that because I'm complaining due to my situation, vayak sheni, that you should view me as being a stubborn person and give me this horrible mussar? Okay, so this is the way the Mitzudos learns the Pasuk. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I don't remember, it's either Rav Schwab or the Malbim, he learns the Pasuk of as a continuation of Pasuk Yutes. And he's saying something very deep. He's saying that if we go to court, and I would say to, let's say we would find, or Bezdin, that would summon HaKadosh Baruch Hu to a Din Torah. Hashem, you have to come to a Din Torah. And the Ribbono Shel Olam shows up, and we sit in court, I'm on one side, Hashem's on the other side, and there's a judge in the middle, Kaviyach. I would say to the judge, Judge, here's Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm a tzaddik, and he has brought upon me suffering for no reason. If I would have the chutzpah to say such a thing, the judge would say, you're a Rasha. How dare you question HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So in other words, even if we were to go the next step, and we were to go into a court of law, let's say we would go do the impossible, we would pull it off, and I would fight against the judge, would say, this is the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hashem is a tzaddik. Hashem is Yosha. How dare you even present your claim against him? Just the presentation of your claim declares you guilty. If I would say to the judge, Tom Oni, I'm a Tom. How dare Hashem go and bring upon me the suffering? The judge would say, Gewalt. Gewalt, how dare you say this? Vayak Sheni. They would view me as a stubborn person. And they would... So the system of justice would be corrupt. That's what he's saying. It's, what can I do? I'm helpless. If the world is a free-for-all, forget it. There's no hope. If there is mishpat, what's the difference? I anyway can't take Hashem to a Din Torah. Doesn't exist a court of law to try HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if there did exist a court of law to try HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the system of justice would be flawed from the get-go. Because you can't take HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Mishpat. If you complain, the judge will say, you complain against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're guilty just for your complaint. Okay, this is the interpretation of one of those two, and it's a continuation of Pasuk Chaf. A very beautiful approach. Rav Schwab, by the way, you should know, it's amazing. He just goes off the page. You can learn all the Mefarshim on the page. The Mitzudos, he did the same thing in Yeshaya. He did this all over and over. You learn the Mitzudos, you read it 20 times, try to understand. You learn Rashi, and maybe you look on the side, and then because those you have Ibn Ezra, and you'll have over here, they have Ramban, and then you look at the Rashab, and he has a whole new Psha in the Pasuk, his own original Perushim in the Pasuk. It's amazing. And that's I think that's how he explains this Pshat. Well, this could be from the Malbim, but this, you have the Rashab as well. Okay, now we come to Pasuk Chav Bei. Let's just see the Rashis, the two Rashis. Pasuk Yud Ches and Yud Tes. Lo, Pasuk Yud Tes and Rashi, Im Lekoyach, Eich Oriv Imo, Im Lekoyach Hubo. If I come with Koyach, if we come to this to figure out who is more powerful, Amit Hinehu, behold, he is the most powerful. There's nothing to discuss. V'im l'mishpat, miyuchol lahodieni lefanav. Who would be able to lahodieni lefanav ulahachzik devar mishpati? Who would be able to I'm not exactly sure how Rashi is learning the word lahodieni.
We learn lahodieni. He's learning it from Edus. Who's going to become
testify? I think also the Targums, right? The Targum in front of me. Targum says to testify in my behalf. Lahodiyeni Lashon of Edus. So who would come and testify before we have a third interpretation? Mitzudah says to set a time. The Malbim says to summon Zakadosh Baruch Hu, to summon him before the Mishnah, the judge. And the Rashi and the Targum are saying, who would testify before him to say, this person is right? No one would dare come and put himself in between me and Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Haloi Pasik Chav.
Like a character witness.
A character witness. What is a character witness?
He's
a good person. He's a good person. So who's going to come and say I'm a good person? No one wants to get involved with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You don't want to get Hashem's bad side. They're not going to come and test. That's exactly what this complaint is. That they should have been real friends. Okay, Pasuk Chav Haloi Im Atzdik Pi Yarshieni. Ki yistimu divarai miyira vayaksheni pi. So here Rashi is learning a little something different. Im etztak pi, if I yarshieni, he would declare me guilty. Ki yistimu divarai miyira, my words would be silenced due to fear. Vayaksheni pi, and my mouth would be closed, would be made stubborn, would be made to, I'm not sure really how Rashi learns. A lot of the Rashis are very, very short and cryptic. My mouth will be sealed due to fear. In Edstock, P-R-S-H-I-N-E. Even though, I think what Rashi means to say is, even though I may deep down in my mind believe that I'm really a tzaddik, I won't be able to say it. I'll basically plead guilty. That's seemingly what he's saying. You go to court, and you're innocent. But the prosecutor has such corrupt, he has false witnesses, and he has false evidence, and so on and so forth. There's no hope. So what are you going to do? You're going to plead innocent? Then they'll put you away forever. They'll put you away for life. So it's in my best interest to lie, and P-Y-R-S-H-I-N-E, say I'm guilty, to plead guilty, and that way they'll only put me away for a shorter period of time than plead the truth. That's seemingly what her Rashi wants to say. Even though I know for a fact I'm at stock, I'm righteous, I have not committed any sin that I deserve this punishment, nevertheless I'm willing to plead guilty. Because, what? Yeah. P.R. Shieni.
Means I'll be silent.
I'll be silent. By being silent, that will be equivalent to my mouth saying that I'm a Rasha. I'm going to silence my mouth due to the fear of trying to present my case correctly. Tomani, even though I'm a Tom, I'm really a Tom, but I'm going to be silent. I'm not going to go and present my case because I know I'll anyway lose, and it'll be to my detriment to claim my innocence. Vayaksheni, so a better I should be declared to be a stubborn person, and I'll get the sentence. Okay, now we go to Pasuk. I'm sorry. Chof Aleph. P yistimu devar miyira v'yakshani p itom oni. No, that's the next part. We didn't do the pasuk yet. Pasuk of Aleph. Okay, pasuk of. Now, tom oni lo eida nafshi emas chaya. Another very difficult pasuk. Eof here declares I'm a tom, I'm a tzaddik. Lo eida nafshi, I do not know my own soul. Emas chayoi, I detest my life. Now, what does that mean in the context? So there are many, many perushim. Mitzuda says, tom oni. Im ki ani tom yoshar, v'lo yimsu bi ovon, im kol ze lo yakir bi nafshi chachi yunis. I don't recognize the vitality of my neshama. I don't feel like I'm alive. Why? Ki hareini kimeis, I'm dead. Because of my suffering. I hate my life. According to the Mitzvot, he learns this to be an entirely new theme. This has nothing to do with the previous two psukim. Everything here, according to the Mitzvot, seems to be an independent thought. He basically is saying, I'm a tzaddik, but I have no reason to live anymore. Normally a person has reason to live if you live a good life. You're a tzaddik, so you feel good about yourself. If you feel good about yourself, you have a drive, you want to live. But if you don't feel good about yourself, my whole life is a lie. People always hear that. People complain. If your life is a lie and everything is corrupt, you don't have any reason to live. Eof says, I have all the reason to live because I'm a tzaddik. I feel good about myself. But what's it worth? I'm a tortured person. I'm suffering. And it's as good as if I'm dead due to my suffering. And therefore, I would prefer to end it right now. That seemingly is the interpretation of the Mitzudos. Rashi, Tomani, Yoidei ani biatzmi shani tom, v'afal pichin lo eida nafshi, bama emsa noifesh, I don't know how to find, noifesh means freedom. I don't know how to find a release for my soul. Now, I'm not exactly sure what the deeper meaning of Rashi means to say. I know I'm a tzaddik, but I don't know how to find relief. Seemingly, he's learning like the Mitsudos that I'm suffering. My suffering does not allow me to find any relief. It's
see,
a pain.
The pain keeps coming on one on top of the other with no
relief.
You get something, you have a
respite.
Second. Yeah, a respite.
No respite. But here we have he has no relief. Okay, that's an interpretation of Mitsudos and Rashi. Others, either Rav Shrab or the Malbim, learns Tom Oni Lo'eda Nafshi Emas Chayai means. What he's saying is maybe really I'm not a Tam. Tom Oni, I believe I'm a Tam. I believe I'm a Tzaddik. But you know what? Who knows? A person doesn't really know what's going on deep down in his life, in his soul.
I said what I said. Can't believe that, you know, if you would tell me I'm a, you know, if you would agree I'm a tzaddik, then I can't believe that you would do such a thing to a tzaddik.
So it must then
must
be
have done something wrong.
But I don't know what I've done wrong. Lo Eda Nafshi, he's coming to acknowledge. Who knows? Maybe deep down in my neshama there is some stain, there is some wickedness in my neshama, and maybe you're right. He's here according to this approach. He's coming to acknowledge. You know. Maybe, my friends, Hashem is emes, Hashem does not do anything wrong, and maybe, my friends, Bildad, Hashuchi, and Eliphaz, maybe you're right. Maybe I'm a Rasha.
Yeah.
But if that's the case, here comes the punchline. This is very, very scary. If that's the case, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a person does not have the ability to evaluate his own neshama, emas chayoi. I don't want such a life. I can't live with myself. A person needs the ability to be objective about himself. It's a very scary thought, because we know that's not true. We know ein adam roi nigei atzmo. That's all part of the process. Really, that's what he's saying. If it's true, I think tom oni, I'm a tzaddik. But you, my friends, are telling me that I'm not a tzaddik. You know what? Maybe you're right. After everything is said and done, maybe, because nothing makes sense. Then what's the answer? If you're right, it must be, I don't really know myself. I think I know myself. I think I know where I stand in this world. But it must be lo eda nafshi. If that's the case, you know what? Life is not worth living. Emas chayoy. I hate my life. A person needs the ability to be objective about where he stands in this world. So seemingly, there's a lot of truth to this. Seemingly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not create the world with to deceive man. Hashem did give a person the ability to inspect his neshama through the koach of Torah. That's how you have to answer the question. The more a person applies himself, the more a person learns and davens and comes closer to Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's a process which goes on forever and ever, the more a person can uncover shortcomings within his neshama and acknowledge that there's more to work on. I mean, this was, I told you last week, with this is just a very powerful line from Rabbi Solomon, where he got a bracha that you should be everything that you think you already are. That's the bracha. That's what he's saying. But at this point in time, Eve is saying that I don't at this point understand the wickedness, and it's a whole new approach, not like what the Mitsudos is saying. It's a very deep idea.
This is a plaque on the psychologist's wall.
It's a what?
A plaque on every psychologist's wall.
This pasuk?
You don't understand. I can help you.
As long as you pay.
Right.
We don't take insurance. We don't take insurance here. I have to. Okay. Chof beis. Achas hi. Now we come to a new idea. Achas hi. Al kein omarti. Tom virosho hu michala. Another very scary pasuk. Let's see the mitzvahs right away. Pasuk chof beis. Achas hi. Bezeh. With the following words, Yoshev Almash Omar Bildad Sheros Hatzadikim Himo Litoiva Veloikein Rose Horosham. One of the major themes of Bildad Hashuchi was, we know that the Rosh and the Tzadik both suffer. That was, they both suffer. You look in the world, you go into Rahman al Sultan, into a place where they're suffering, you look, you'll see two beds next to each other, a Tzadik and a Rosh, they're suffering. How could it be they're both suffering? The Rasha, the purpose of his suffering is to the purpose of his suffering, when his suffering ends, he dies. The Tzaddik, when a suffering ends, he lives. The purpose of the suffering for the tzaddik is to purge him for his sins in order that he can live on. The Rasha, he already had a good life, he had reward, and now he's going to suffer to die to pay him for his sins, and that will be the end. So you could have the same exact degree of suffering for two different people. Each one is for a different purpose. For the Rosh, it's to finish him off. For the Tzaddik, it's for the future. It's an investment for the future. Now Eov says it's nonsense. I disagree. Cannot possibly be that the same degree of suffering to two different people serves different purposes. Suffering is suffering. It's all the same. The Tzaddik and the Rasha, in other words, he's coming to deny that there is Hashkacha Pratis. Everything is just a random act of nature. One more time. B'ze yoshev al mashem abildon hashuchi atzadikim heim l'toyva the tzadikim tshoros atzadikim heim l'toyva v'loy kein rosh hashoyim v'al ze amar, and this he says haloy min achas heim, suffering is suffering, v'derech achas lohem, and it's all the same. The eich im kein yishtanu bepulos, and how can it possibly be that it serves a different purpose? Al kein amarti, therefore I've come to the conclusion shehara, evil, michale, hatam viharasha. There is no hashkach in this world. Everyone is the same. Ra is michale, the tam and the rasha. Ze keze, ki ein tovo ba min hara. No good comes from evil. No good will come from a tzaddik suffering. So let's go back to the pasuk. Achasi, achasi means it's all the same. The suffering of the tzaddik and the rasha. Al kein amarti. Therefore, I've come to the conclusion. Tam viharasha. The suffering will finish off both the tzaddik and the rasha for no purpose. Now let's look at the Rashi. Rashi pasuk of beis achasi. Achasi ba'olam. It's one in the world. It's all the same. V'yoleha amarti, concerning this degree of suffering, I have said shetam v'rashu mechale ba'avura. Umahi. Now then it goes on to say, and umahi means what's it worth? Umahi, what is it worth? It's does not serve any purpose. Okay, so this is the words of Apikorsis, seemingly powerful words of Apikorsis that Eov is coming to express in his frustration. There's a very powerful medrash. Medrash Rabbah. Medrash Rabbah says, why is Eov criticized here as being an Apikoris? There's someone else who said exactly the same thing. Who is that? Avraham, read the words of the Medrash. Omar Rabbi Levi, Shnei Bnei Adam, two people, Omru Dover Echad. Powerful stuff. Two people said exactly the same thing. Avraham the Eif. Avraham Avinu and Eif. Avraham Omar, about Sodom. Hashem, you're going to destroy Sodom. Cholila, but in Sodom there are tzaddikim. There have to be a couple of tzaddikim in Sodom. It can't be every single person in Sodom is a Rasha. You're going to wipe out the whole Sodom. And among those in Sodom, you're going to wipe out tzaddikim. Cholila lecha mi'asos kadover hazeh. Lehonis tzaddik im Rasha. To destroy the tzaddik together with the Rasha. So Avram is saying, you're going to destroy the tzaddik and the Rasha. You're going to wipe them both out. Eov said exactly the same thing. I've come to the conclusion, a person that's suffering in this world, that comes to the tzaddik and the Rasha, there's no difference. The tzaddik and the Rasha suffer, and the end is they both die. Achasi, al-kein amarti, tam v'rasha, hu michale. So the question is, why is Avraham Avinu, and Eov over here, criticized as being an apikoris? He's not held responsible for this apikoris, but he's criticized as being an apikoris due to what he says. So Avraham, not olecha sochar, Avraham received reward for his statement. Avraham, these psukim are the source for davening shachris every morning. Eov nenash olecha. So the answer is very simple. All depends how you say it. It all depends the inflection. All depends the attitude, your frame of mind. Avraham amar davizeh b'shalva. B'yishuf hadas kite'ena mivushelas. Like a fig that's right, has been ripened. Eov amar paga. Eov said this as a paga is a fig that's not yet developed. He said this in a different frame of mind, without yishuv hadas. So therefore you can say exactly the same thing It all depends on the context. Right, that's the most common thing today in the media. When a politician says something, he's been taken out of context. That all depends on the setting of where you're coming from. Words themselves is not the whole thing. You have to look at the big picture of where the words are coming from to appreciate the deeper meaning. Avraham and Eov say the same thing. Eov is, we're critical of Eov, but not of Avraham.
Eov said it about himself. You could understand more.
Well, that's why he's Pag. That's what we call him. He's called Lo Yishev Hadas. He's not held responsible. We said that many, many times. Over and over, Chazal said that he's not held accountable for his words. But we need to study Eov to understand these concepts in Echnami. But it here is viewed as a thing that it's not proper to say. Okay, we'll do one more pasuk. Pasuk Chav Gimel. L'mshot Yomis Pisom. L'masas Nikiyim Yila. Another very difficult pasuk. L'mshot means the rod. And the rod here means punishment. Shot also comes from the word Satan. If the Satan, Yomis, the Satan brings death upon a human being, Pisom, suddenly, so Eev says it's not fair. Lemasas Nikiyim Yilog. Yilog means a mockery. Okay, I think I'm translating now according to the Malbim. It's a mockery for the innocent. It's a mockery, it's for the, Nikiyim is the innocent. Lemasas means the melting away. The punishment and the suffering of the innocent. He's saying it's not fair. It's not fair that a Kadosh Baruch Hu should go and allow a righteous person to die suddenly. It makes a mockery out of the system of justice. Yeah. There's no justice. Yilog is, they're going to laugh. Who's they? The world. The Rishoyim. They're going to laugh about, you have to read these words backwards. They're going to laugh about the Masas Nikiyim, the melting away of the innocent. Because there's such a thing in this world that the shot, the satan, or evil, can kill, take away from a tzaddik pisom suddenly. Let's take a look at the Mesillas Pasuk of Gimel. Im shot, Ratzalaymar, Af Lufi Devarecha, according to your words, my friend Bildad, Hashuchi, Asher Shevet Hamake Yomis Pisom Esarasha, Kasher Yikabel De Gimel. Now he's learning, I told you according to the Malm. The way I translate the Pasuk is more like the Malm. Let's just put that aside for the moment and look at the Mitzudos. He has a whole different interpretation. And he learns that the shot that's Yomis Pisom is the Rasha. The Rasha dies an easy life. He lives until he's 100. You see this with these, in the news, these Nazis. Some of these Nazis, they live, they're 100 years old, and they're living in Argentina, they're living here, living there, they're never prosecuted, and they live out their days, and they die, and they just die a peaceful death, a sudden death. So these Rishoyim, when they die a peaceful death, their last moments, they laugh. They say, oh, look, I'm a Rasha, look what I did. I did all these terrible things, and I'm dying a nice, easy death. And look at all these good people.
Rabban just said what you said right now.
Oh, no, this is what Mitzudas is really saying. He's saying this.
Yeah.
Ratzalaymar, Af Lefi Devarech, Asher Shevet Hamakeh Yomis Pisom, Es HaRasha. Mitzudas is focusing that the rod comes down upon the Rasha, Kasher Yikabel when, Dei Gemul Ma'at, Ma'asecha HaTov She'asa, after the Rasha lives a good life in this world, and Hashem rewards him for all of his good deeds, and then Hashem brings about his death very quickly and without any pain. But the tzaddik doesn't die so easily. The tzaddik, he lingers, he's tortured, he suffers for a very long time. So Eev now is telling to Bildad it's not fair. So the Rasha, he makes this observation, and he says, look at that, I'm dying an easy death after a long life, and this one is dying a tortured death. Ki hu seichek, the Rasha, he mocks, he laughs, umalik al hamosas hanikim, on the melting away. In this context, it means the torture, the prolonged torture of the innocent. Barichas himei hayisuim, the toiva be'enav, and he compliments himself. He's very pleased with himself. The Rosh is pleased with himself. Be'enav hamisa hapesemes, ah, look at me, look how fortunate I am that I die suddenly. This he's viewing as a very evil thing in this world, that the Rasha dies without any recognition that there is mishpat in this world. You're telling me, my friend, that the tzaddik and the Rasha both suffer. For the tzaddik, it is for his good. For the Rasha, it's for his bad. He just dies, he gets rewarded, and he dies quickly. Eov is saying, it's nonsense what you're saying to me, because there's no mishpat. Because the end is they both die, and not only is there no mishpat, the Rasha, he, in his last moments of life, is mocking the righteous. By saying, look how much better I am, I got away with doing what I did, and I die easily, and they have a torture. So let's go back to the pasuk that we were more time according to the Mitzvot. Im shot yamis pisam, according to the Mitzvot, this refers to the Rasha. If the shot, the rod, kills the Rasha suddenly, lemasas nikim yilog, yilog, the Rasha is mocking the torture of his counterpart, of the tzaddik, that is withering away. The Malbim learns not like this. The Malbim learns, Mshad Yomis Pisam means the tzaddik. If the tzaddik dies Pisam suddenly, without living a long life, without having reward in this world, this is a mockery to justice. Lemasas nikim yilog, the wicked look at mishpat and they say, ah, there's no mishpat in this world. How could such a thing happen where a tzaddik dies without any reward? Let's take a look at the Rashi, pasuk of gimel, im shot lashon shel satan. The word sot comes from the word satan. Shall satan yom is pisam es at tzaddik, when the satan suddenly takes away the tzaddik. So again, the mitzud Rashi is also learning not like the mitzudos. He's very clearly learning like the approach of the Malbim, that the shod is knocking out the tzaddik. Lemasas nikim shehemis yilak, the melting away of the innocent yilak, the Rasha laughs. He laughs, look what happened to this tzaddik. Okay, with that we will conclude for today. Pasuk Chav Dalet.